Good morning. I want to welcome you in our morning worship service this morning and make yourself right at home, if you would, this morning. And we had a part of a lesson, I guess you call it, the spirit. That, as Kip said, you missed a good one in here this morning. But the spirit was flowing this morning, and I'm glad when God passes by, Brother Al, and we can feel his presence. And we felt his presence here this morning. So we want to just make everyone just feel right at home today, and just pray that you'd mind the spirit of the Lord. Just pray the Lord will just continue to bless like he has this morning. So choir's going to be singing here in a minute. So first thing we're going to do is get our ushers here and take up our offering. So if you would, I'd like for Brother Kip to stand and ask blessing on our offering. Sure. Thank you. Amen. Anybody have a word for the Lord this morning before we have the choir sing? Bless you, Jim. Bless you, Jim. Bless you, Jim.
And remember, these other folks here, they're out of country, and remember them especially. And just God is good all the time.
Sure, yeah.
We don't thank you enough. I just want to be what you want to be.
Bless you.
Neighbors, brothers, uncle, whatever they can be.
Bless you, Jim. Sure. Bless. Amen. Bless him, Lord.
Bless you, Jimmy.
Sure, again. Amen. Bless you, Jim. Praise the Lord. Anybody else this morning? Yeah. Sure. Amen. Bless you, Stan. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Bless you. Bless you, Dave.
That song playing there a minute ago, what it means to me. A lot of things means to me. I think about my dad there. I got grandparents there.
Yeah.
Someday I'm going to go see them.
Sure we do.
Yeah. And I know his name. Man back here talking about his children. We got children.
Bless you, Steve. Yeah. Bless you, buddy.
But I know the Bible tells me there's nothing too hard for God. With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Amen. I look forward to that day when the Lord come to me and
Sure.
Because I don't pray for them, who will? Can't give up on them. The only hope we have.
Yeah.
We say, Lord, here's our children.
Bless you, Steve.
Draw to thyself. Mm-hmm. I know you're able. Yeah. But now I look forward to that. I'm going to, I believe, see that they have. If it don't happen before I go, then I'm just going to happen after. Doesn't matter, but I just want them there.
Sure.
Pray for my children, if you will.
Bless you, Steve.
We praise the Lord.
Amen. Bless you, Steve. Amen. Amen. I'll never forget that morning, Al, when I made that call to my mom that prayed for me for a long time. And I was about like that song they used to sing when I called her. I said, Mom, I'm not the same anymore. Old things we used to like to do, Steve, we didn't like to do them no more. God took them away from us, Al.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that phone call that morning when I made it. And I'll never forget that calling the morning that the Lord called me also. That was the greatest morning that ever was, Steve. All right, Pam.
Oh, I can't keep the tears from falling from my eyes when to a loved one I have to say goodbye. Though my heart is breaking, with joy I too can say that I have this promise, we'll meet again someday. Oh, what a promise now it fills my soul. We'll be united where storm has never rolled. It's the song of the church, the children of the King. It's, oh, great, where's your victory? And death, where is your sting? Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are washed away. And I have this promise, we'll meet again someday. Oh, what a promise, now it thrills my soul. Where we'll be united, where storm clouds never roll. It's the song of the church, the children of the King. It's, oh, great, where's your victory? And death, where is your sting? Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are washed away. And I have this promise, we'll meet again someday. Oh, what a promise, how it thrills my soul. Where we'll be united, where storm has never rolled.
Everyone stand. I'm going to do something different. Give me a knee flat. Knee flat. Everyone stand. Y'all join in.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change. You're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're upon the mountain. Oh, but the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Gene Hackney, would you stand and pray for Brother Jimmy as he gets ready to bring the message to us? Yes. Amen. Thank you, Gene.
Anyone have a word from the Lord? Yeah. Bless you, Vaughn. Amen. Amen. All right. Spirit is in this place this morning. It feels great to be here. Numbers chapter 21, if you've got your Bibles. Numbers chapter 21. going to be talking a little bit about snakes, so I hope you all like snakes. Hope you like venomous snakes, because I brought a box of copperheads and I'm going to pass around. No, I'm just joking. Dead snake, huh? No, we'll just talk about them this morning. We'll preach about them, and we won't do a show and tell. Numbers chapter 21, verse 1, it says this. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And so as they're out in the wilderness, like they always do, like we seem to always read, they begin to get disgruntled. And it said, and the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And so they're looking forward to the promised land, but they're not there yet, and so they're out in the wilderness. And you know that we're in the exact same place. We've got a promised land that is there for us. Those that believe in the Lord, we have that promised land. But we're still in the wilderness right now. You all know that. We're still in the wilderness, and we're pilgrims in this place. And so this world is going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. And from time to time, we're going to get disgruntled, and we do. Sometimes we murmur against the church or against God, and we wonder what's going on because we're still wandering around in the wilderness. We face hardship. It says that they were mumbling and grumbling about what they had to eat and drink. And so we're not in the promised land yet. We're still in this wilderness. And sometimes we get disgruntled also. But it goes on, it says this. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he taketh away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And so as we're in the wilderness the same as they are, we have fiery serpents that are all around us the same as they did. We have serpents that are in this world that are around us, fiery serpents that we get bit by all the time, and it's called sin. Sin is all around us. It is there. It's there to torment us. It's there to tempt us. Satan is always there to try to get at us with these fiery serpents. And so we live in a world that's full of these serpents, and we get bit all the time. And this verse said that when they got bit, it said, and much of the people of Israel died. And I started to look this up around. I wanted to look this up. Every year, it says 100,000 people around the world die from a venomous snake bite. Some of the symptoms: tingling, muscle weakness, nausea, difficulty swallowing, and fatal breathing problems. But you know that these snakes that we get bit by in this world, the ones that are all around us, the ones that are there every day, every step of the way, we have to be careful. You know, we live in West Virginia. We have to be careful during the summertime, don't we? We have to be careful where we go and how we do it, because we know that there could be a copperhead laying around. There could be a rattlesnake. They could be there. So we're careful when we go to lift something up. You ever go out to your junk pile or something? You want to get a cinder block or something? You got to be very careful. You got to be careful where you go in the woods. You know, you wear boots and things like that because they're always there seeking, and they're there, you know, lying in wait. We don't see them. That's how we get bit, because we don't see them. and they come up and they sneak upon us. Sin is the same way. But much like in this story, sin leadeth to death. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. It doesn't say the wages of sin is tingling or muscle weakness or nausea like these snake bites. It says the wages of sin is death. And so it was for them, that when they got bitten, they were surely there to die. But you see, what did it say? It said that they sought Moses and they went to Moses. And they still had an option. They had an option. When something came up against them, when they were plagued by the serpents, they had an option to go to. Aren't you glad that we have an option in this world that we're in? Aren't you glad that you have an option when we're in this wilderness and all these snakes are around us waiting to bite us with this venom that is so deadly? But they had an option, and they went to the Lord. And it said, they said, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. I'm so glad that we have that option, that when we get bitten, when we get faced with things in this life, when we get weary, we have a place that we can go. One that controls the serpents. One that controls the wilderness. One that is in charge. One that can supply our needs. One that can give us bread when we're hungry and give us drink when we're thirsty. And that's what they did. As I was reading about the venom, I started reading about how it's made, and it says that it's a lengthy process because they've got to catch the snakes, and then they've got to raise them up, and then they've got to take them and take their fangs and milk the venom out. And there's not very much venom that comes out each time. And it said it takes 3 years and 69,000 milkings to produce 1 pint of coral snake venom. 3 years and 69,000 milkings to get, or coral snake venom, to make for the antivenom. And then they take that venom that they've accumulated over time, and they take an animal. And a lot of times, you know what they use as an animal? A lamb. Isn't that great? A lamb, a sheep, that they use to help save people. And it says after about 10 weeks, after the animal is injected, the blood is harvested and 3 to 6 liters drained from the jugular vein of the animal. And then the blood is purified. So you see, it takes a lot to make this antivenom that is there to save the lives of somebody who just gets bitten. Now, it's easy to get bitten. Not that hard. It's a lot easier to get saved from that bite. Amen? Think about what these people have to do. There are people that are in this world that do this. But if we were on our own and we didn't have an option, what would we do? We'd have to find a snake. We couldn't find the one that bit us because it just got rid of all its venom in it. We'd have to find another one. We'd have to milk it for so many days. Then we'd have to inject it into an animal. Then we'd have to let the blood come out of the animal. Then you'd have to purify it. All of this stuff just to save yourself. Here's the bottom line. We can't do it. We can't do it. We cannot save ourselves. Nothing we can do. We can't go to that sin and go and you know, do a certain thing and say a certain thing and just get rid of that and save ourselves from the bite that we've just been inflicted with. It's easy to get bitten. It's a lot harder to get saved from that bite. But they prayed unto God, and Moses prayed for the people. And it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, he didn't say, go and collect a bunch of snakes and milk them of their venom and find a bunch of animals and inject them with that venom and then wait 10 weeks and then take that blood from that animal and then purify it and then make antivenom. That's not what he said. What did he say to do? This is what he said. He said, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live. Amen. Amen. Make a fiery serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And when everyone who looks upon it, they shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Aren't you glad that when we behold the Lamb of Jesus Christ, and we believe in that Lamb, that we shall live, and we shall not die? Because it's so easy to get bitten. We get bitten all the time in this world with sin. Sin creeps up and bites us all the time. It's probably bitten us within the last 24 hours. You might still be stinging from a snake bite this morning. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go and wait 10 weeks and go through all this process just to have a chance of life? Because by that time, you're already dead. But all God did, he made a way. He made a way. John 3:14 says this. John 3:14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Just like he was talking about. Just like what happened with Moses and the people. They were afflicted by the snakes, and they were afflicted by the venom. And it says that many of them died. But Moses and God provided a way that if we should just behold him and believeth in him, that we shall live. Amen? What a wonderful Savior we serve. What a wonderful God is Jesus. He wanted us to know that it's that simple, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It goes on to say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That is what he did for us. That is the price that he paid for us. We didn't have to go out and find this way to be saved. He made a way that we could see it, and that we could believe in him, and that we could be saved. I'm so thankful that this morning I received news of up the road here at Rippling Waters. At least one person, young person, saved this weekend. Amen? Amen. At least one person, one young person saved from the destruction of hell, death, and the grave. And that should be something that we're excited about. That should be something that I'm so excited about that. Because I can remember being of that age and younger. And being of that age and knowing that I had snake bites in my life. And knowing there was one particular one that bothered me so bad. Something that I was putting above God. And you know what? I realized that I was putting it above God because it bothered me. And God made it aware. He made me aware that I was sick. He made it aware that I was in sin. And that I had a venomous snake bite. But he also gave me an option. He gave me an option. And the people that I went to church with, and my parents and my dad, they said, "You know, there's an option for what you're worried about. There's an option. And that option is Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb." John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." It says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. What does the word behold mean? It means look. It means see. It means observe the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Aren't you glad that we just have to lift our eyes up? Aren't you glad that he came and he lived the life that he lived and he said the things that he said? And all we have to do is trust in him and put our trust in him, and he is faithful to save us. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'm glad we don't have to work for it. I'm glad we don't have to do certain, a certain ritual or things like that to be saved, because there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. It's as vain as trying to save yourself from a venomous snake bite. You can't do it. You can go and you can put stuff on it. You can go and you can maybe cut yourself and try to bleed a little bit, or you can go and you can take some medicine, but there's nothing you can do to save yourself from that. That it is at that time that we have to realize that we're as good as God unless we do something about it. You see, we have to realize that things are getting really serious before we seek salvation. We have to realize that there's no escaping on our own. We have to realize that we've been bitten and we're as good as gone if we don't seek that option. But there is that option. There is. And God provided that lamb. God provided that option for us. So that if we just behold the lamb and believe, then we too shall be saved. I'm so glad that this young girl, her name is Sage. She comes on Wednesday nights. Several Wednesday nights, we do an altar call at the end of Center Shot. And for the past couple ones that I've done, I've had them close their eyes and bow their head and raise their hand if they want to accept the Lord. If they want salvation, to raise their hand, you know, and then maybe we'll talk about it. And twice she raised her hand, but she wasn't ready to talk about it. But over this weekend, up there at this youth retreat, what did they do at this youth retreat? What did the church do? They lifted up Jesus Christ. They taught about Jesus Christ. As they went around those campfire, they preached about Jesus Christ. What did they do? They lifted up the answer so that anyone there could look on that and behold and have salvation. And praise God, that's what happened. You see what happens when we lift up the Lord? You see what happens when we lift the Lord up in our everyday lives? When we lift Him up at work? When we lift Him up at school? When we lift Him up in our household? When we give people an option? You know, there's a lot of people that don't know there's an option. There's a lot of people that are suffering. They've got nausea. They've got spiritual nausea. They've got spiritual difficulty swallowing. They've got spiritual difficulty breathing. In other words, they're dying in this world, in this wilderness. And they don't know there's an option. They don't know that there's someone that they can behold and believe in and can be saved. So it's up to us to lift up the Lamb, to lift Him up, to lift up Christ so that people can see and be saved. There's a song that we sing. There's a song that we sing often. And it goes like this. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. People are weary. People are troubled. But it says there's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. You might be sitting here this morning. You might be snake bit this morning. You might be feeling the pain of this world. You might be having difficulty making it through day to day. You might be wearied in trouble. You might have trouble seeing the light in all of this darkness, in this wilderness. But what does it go on to say? It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. How do we turn our eyes upon Jesus? How do we know about Him? How do we learn about Him? Turn your eyes upon the book. Read the book. Turn your eyes upon this. Let your eyes be the entryway into the soul and turn your eyes upon the book and let it come into your life. You'll recognize truth when you see it. You'll recognize truth when you hear it. Why do you think this makes people so uncomfortable all the time? Truth makes people uncomfortable. Truth makes people uncomfortable. Why do people stay away from the doctor? A lot of times they don't want to be told what's going on with them. They're scared. They're scared. People don't want to know that they're dying. People don't want to know that the wages of sin is death. Yeah. They want to think that the wages of sin is fun, or the wages of sin is freedom. Because that's what Satan tells us. Go out and do this for a little while. If you want to feel good, try this. If you want to feel good, go and do this. And you'll feel free. But that is fleeting. Sin is only good for a little while, or it feels good for a little while. And then you're enslaved. And you're lost and you're dying. But you do have an option. God made a way so that if we just behold Him, that we can have life and have it more eternal. I was thinking of the song that Randy sang. I might get part of this wrong or backwards, but it says, it's the song of the church, the children of the King. It's, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Isn't it great that Jesus takes the sting right out of death? Takes the victory right out of the grave? Went to a funeral this past Friday. Brother Gene Fisher. And you know, there was crying, but there was also a lot of laughter, a lot of stories. A lot of stories of his life. But most of all, there was the promise that we'll be reunited with Gene. We'll get to see him again. Amen? That's the option that God gives us. There is a promised land for us. There is a way that we can have. The way, truth, and life is Jesus Christ. And He's lifted up. But are you willing to look? Are you willing to look and to behold the face of Christ and to take that step? You might be hurting here this morning. You might be hurting and feeling the effects of sin in your life, because we all have sin in our life. But you have an option. You have an option. You don't have to take that way that comes with being bit. You have that option to behold the Lamb of Christ. As we get a song of invitation, if you've got a need this morning, any kind of need, we can take it to Him, and He will take care of all of our needs. He says, learn of me. He says, seek me out. He says, seek and you shall find. If we seek His face, He is willing to forgive. Think about the one on the cross, the thief on the cross. Was he dying for his actions? Yes. He was dying for his actions. The crimes that he had committed, he was literally, physically dying for those actions. But what did he look over and what did he see? Or who did he see? He saw Christ. Now the other one was also dying. He looked over and he didn't see much. And he didn't take that option. But the other one looked over and he said, that's what I need in my life. That's my Savior. That's the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. So much like in the days of Moses, where they looked and they were healed. He looked over and he believed and he asked God for salvation. And guess what? It was given to him. Made it so simple for us. We just trust in Him. And acknowledge our sins and acknowledge our position. He's faithful. I'll say this before they sing. That antivenom costs a lot of money. They say it costs $30,000 to $50,000. $30,000 to $50,000, if you can even get it. That's not what Jesus requires of us. His gift is free. As we get a song of invitation, if you have a need here this morning, yes.
Everyone stand, turn to page 111. 111.
Oh, so are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Amen. You know, there are plenty of people and plenty of things.